This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Because the confidence this group can fix what hasn't been working in these last couple weeks have been the playoffs.
What group?
The defense.
What gives me confidence? I think we just had the right guys in the building to get it done. Again, going into a new season, it's a completely different game. Everything is different. Stakes are different. So we're going to see how we show up.
I don't know how much confidence that response gave me as he kind of verbally searched for what to say would give him confidence. That was Jalen Johnson after the game. Judson Richards back here with you on a Monday. It is actually the first time. This is either my fifth or sixth overnights, and this is my first L, interestingly.
My first L, too.
You haven't had any this season or with me?
No.
Haven't had any L's?
Even with Gabe. I remember I did with Gabe on the Cowboys game, and I think I did it on with him with the Saints game or one of the Vikings games. I think it was the one when they went to Minnesota.
Well, all I know is I'm so used to firing off a good, better, best as we usually do at midnight, but
no good, better, best today.
It was not good, it was not better, and it was not best, but you're not going to hear, okay, I am doing a lot of complaining. However, I'm approaching this show as kind of like the Bears. If this were heading into their 17th game, right, like you would still react directly to 16. Since we have an 18th game, meaning that playoff game on Saturday night, I'm reacting as if I would with another game to follow, right? We're going to have all offseason to talk about how great Ben Johnson is, and he's earned it. The Bears have averaged 5 wins over the previous 3 years, okay, 11-6. There is much to be excited about. However, what I saw Sunday, they weren't excited, and it definitely did not make me excited. And the confidence level, well, I'll leave that up to you about how you feel heading into this Packers game on Saturday night, 7 p.m. on Prime. It is airing locally on Fox 32. By the way, you are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Also like to remind you of this, and this is very, very cool. If you are a business owner or an employee, give me your ears. How would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 60 right here on The Score? Because we got the game. Here's your chance. We have brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One. And new this year, you can win a live broadcast for your brand. How do you do it? You go to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter, January 18th. Score Big for Your Business, sponsored by People's Bank. where better banking keeps moving forward. Member FDIC. Just a reminder, coming up on Mully and Haw this morning, Olin Krutz will join the guys at 7 o'clock. TJ Edwards and Brad Biggs, they will be on the show. We do not have a set time as of yet. Raheemi Harrison Grody coming your way at 10 o'clock. Anthony Heron will join them at 11. The Athletics' Dan Weider at 1 p.m. as they dive into this game. And of course, we get to look ahead for the Packers and the Bears facing off for only the third time in history in the postseason, which is pretty remarkable. And of course, the Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner, joins Spiegel and Holmes at 3 o'clock. Again, the phone lines, they are open. I'm with you until 5 a.m. If you call in and you've got a solid take, at least something close to it, you will get on these airwaves. 312-644-6767. What did a couple Bear greats, Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz, along with Mully, think of what happened on Sunday? Here they are.
I don't know what we can say, guys. That was a very ugly, very difficult football game. The Bears managed to tie it late. They had an opportunity with the ball, but unfortunately couldn't get it done. And then they lose on a 42-yard field goal at the buzzer. That was the 1916 final, Bears dropping a game to the Detroit Lions. Difficult one.
Yeah, brutal. Not what you wanted to see from the Chicago Bears offensively or defensively for most of the game. And you wanted to see them get some momentum heading into the playoffs. And, you know, I think the first thing you say is, okay, were they looking ahead to the playoffs? Did they look disinterested? You know, why were there so many? Coach Johnson said there were a lot of mental mistakes in the first half. Yes. A lot of guys maybe not in their gas. But here's the thing that bugs me more than anything is it looked a lot like the Packers game for the first three quarters, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
They were interested that game. They weren't looking ahead to the playoffs in that football game. So now we have two games here, Pat and Mully, where you look at it and you say, okay, when you look at these first half or these first three quarters, why are we doing this? Why are we falling behind? Why are we struggling so much early at home, right, against the Packers and now against the Lions? Now, I know against divisional opponents, it's always a little tougher. They know you so well. It's the first time that – it's the second time that you're playing them and all these things that you say when you watch these games. But just not a good showing by Chicago Bears today. Now, we'll see what happens with this Philadelphia – Washington game, but a lot of things to get cleaned up before they head into the playoffs next week.
Yeah, well, and it's just disappointing. Like you said, going into the playoffs, you want to be playing your best ball. And Ben Johnson talked about playing your best ball in December. I know it's January, but that means it should, if you're playing your best ball in December, getting ready for the playoffs, it should slide over into January. And it's just, it's disappointing. It's, you know, you see 19 points given up by the defense, but it felt like a lot more. And that's what scares me is going to play either the Packers or the Rams or whoever they play, that it could be ugly like the 49ers game. That defense did not get any better. In my opinion, they did not. They just got killed in man-to-man. It was bad to see C.J. Gardner-Johnson get hurt, but he was getting burned quite a bit. Jalen Johnson got beat man-to-man. And then offensively, only putting up 16 points and having zero points in the first half is just – that's unacceptable for a playoff team, and that's what scares me going forward. Things can get corrected, but that's not what you wanted to see today. I thought today would be a take-care-of-business game. If you looked at the lineup the Lions were putting out there, they were missing star tackle, star D tackle, two safeties, a corner, a lot of guys. And this is a game late in the season that if you're willing or ready to go deep into the playoffs – that you just kind of take care of business and make sure that game's over with by the third quarter, and you know take some pads off some guys and move on and be ready for the playoffs. But it was not that way, and it was just, Olin, you said it right. It's brutal. That was a brutal game.
Mm-hmm. What disturbs you more as we're preparing for a playoff game at the end of the week? We don't know who they're playing yet. We don't know. If they're playing Saturday, Sunday, just are you more worried about the offense or about the defense at this point?
I'm worried about both, right, when you watch this game. Because, I said, if you go back to the Packers game, it reminds you a lot of it, right? The offense couldn't get anything going. The Packers moving the ball, dominating in time of possession, just like the Lions did, right? Dominating in time of possession in the first half and probably for most of the game. And then you're wondering, okay, are they just going to try to get this comeback going again, right? And it's just, you know, lucky thing the Packers are 0-for-5 in the red zone in that game. Today, the Lions, I think, 1-for-5. So that's what kept them in the game was the red zone defense. But on the other end, the offense isn't moving the ball, not converting third downs, not getting first downs, not putting the ball in the end zone. The last thing we wanted to see from this offense was we just left the game with the 49ers. We said, look, man, they could win a shootout against a good team.
Yes.
Was only be held to 16 points, right? Held to 16 points at home against this Lions defense that are missing two safeties and a cornerback and a couple other guys, right? The pass rush getting home a little bit today, again after Caleb. Receivers and quarterback don't look on the same page for a lot of the first half. And, you know, Coach Ben Johnson talked about coming out again about how he couldn't believe how many mental mistakes there were. But and I would chalk that up, Pat, and say, okay, let's see what happens next week in the playoffs. Maybe they're looking ahead. The only thing that worries me, again, is this looked a lot like the Packers game to me for three quarters, right? And then they had to get an onside kick and find a way to hit DJ Moore in overtime to win that football game. And you say to yourself, well, can you keep winning like this? Well, today the answer was no. Right. So eventually in the first half, we got to come out ready to play, ready to execute, ready to get off the field as a defense, ready to put the ball in the end zone on offense.
Yeah, Mully, I'm concerned about both. I thought maybe the 49ers game, they kind of turned the corner offensively and they said, OK, like you said, Olin, we can outscore you. And I was like, all right, if they can get the offense going, then we get these takeaways going like we had in the past with this defense. Anything can happen in the run in the playoffs. But now you're concerned about both. It looked ugly. They did not look efficient. They just looked like they were missing. Just everything just looked off. And that's just not what you want to see going into the playoffs. And especially a game like this where the preparation for this should have been, like, it sounded like he simplified the game plan. So if you simplify the game plan, there should not be mistakes. And simplifying the game plan does not mean they're taking them lightly. It's just that's the way they wanted to go into the game plan. Excuse me, go into the game. And it's concerning. Both are concerning. And I'm nervous. And it'll be interesting to see how they can fix this. And I want to hear what Ben Johnson has to say after this game.
Yeah, I think that the really disappointing part of it is they decided to play everyone with the idea that there was a lot on the line. And I'm trying to keep an eye on this Washington. Okay, so that's a final today. Washington beat the Eagles 24-17, which means the Bears will be at home against Green Bay, and they do have the number 2 seed, so they are assured of having a playoff game at home, and if they win it, they will get a second playoff game at home. So it worked out in the long run, I suppose. That's pretty good news that the Bears do indeed get the number 2 seed in the NFC. It's absurd that you're sitting here trying to keep refreshing a goofy football score.
Right.
They got the 2 seed.
It's interesting because going into this game and what I was hoping to see, I wanted to see the Green Bay Packers. Now I don't want to see anybody.
Yeah.
You're just nervous about this defense and now this offense not clicking. That I felt good about going against the Packers if the offense could score points, if they could stay up with them, if not outscore them and make it not an easy win, but a win. Like, you feel good about going into that game against the Packers. Now I don't feel good. That's going to be a bad taste in that locker room. I'm sure they're going to feel a little different, and they've got to get it right.
Yeah, and it's funny, right, because – after that loss and what we watched for most of that game, you know, obviously they get hot there late in the third through the most of the fourth, but what you watched in most of that game, but you got to congratulate them on getting a second seed, right? In these playoffs.
Yeah, that's
kind
right.
Of a weird day right there. They're the second seed now. That is a very successful first season for Ben Johnson to get that second seed. And now if you do win and play better football and beat the Green Bay Packers, you have another one at home and you are in the tournament now, and there are things to fix. The problem is there's a little bit of an identity, right, in the last three games. By that I mean losing a time of possession, allowing teams to rush the football, and if they can put the ball in the end zone once they get into the red zone, then they're going to put up 40 points like the San Francisco 49ers did against you, right? So really, like, worried about, I think, you know, the Packers, they lost the time of possession by almost, you know, almost 12 minutes. Today was, you know, 10 or 11 minutes, and then San Francisco was 10 minutes. So it's just the vetted teams run the football. The Lions averaged 4.5 yards a carry today. things you worry about with this defense. Now, Byer did come up with a big interception, right? You were waiting for those takeaways, and they did show up and their identity on defense, but the Lions found a way to beat them. And man, I mean, it's just you didn't want to see what I didn't want to see was this offense again bogged down and only scoring 16 points and losing a game 19-16. It's kind of like, you know, the defense should say, well, if we hold them to 19 points, we win this football game.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think so. And then, Olin, great point, though. I mean, it is congratulations getting them the number two seed. So then I switch into, like, the seat of Ben Johnson. How do you deal with this? How do you deal with a disappointing loss like that, celebrate a number two seed, and get ready for the playoffs? You know, this is a big job now for Ben Johnson taking this locker room and bringing them together and getting them ready for the playoffs after a showing like that. That's difficult. Do you say, all right, let's just move on? How do you coach this game? Are you hard on them? Are you like, how do you deal with this situation as a head coach will be interesting. And it's a good test for him. And I'm wondering if he's run through all these scenarios through his head. You know, how do I talk to the locker room right now? How do I talk to them tomorrow when they show up on Monday to get ready for this playoff game? It'll be interesting to see. They go about this. That's why I'm interested to hear Ben Johnson's message and what he's got for these guys moving forward, getting ready for this playoffs as the number two seed now.
And I think go ahead.
No, sorry, Molly. I was going to say the last two games within regulation, they only scored 16 points, this offense, right?
And yes.
They exploded against San Francisco, and we're all happy to see that. And the young quarterback has arrived, but their game coming up is going to be at home, right? It's going to be at home again. It's at Soldier Field. And the last two times they played at Soldier Field within 60 minutes, they only scored 16 points, and they had to get an onside, right, against the Green Bay Packers to get that to 16 points. So it's really just kind of got to start a little faster, got to find a way to move that football, right? I mean, the last time they played the Packers, they got to 16 points with 24 seconds left in the game. So it's just when you talk about what you're worried about,
point.
That is what you're worried about with the Packers coming back to town. The Packers watched the game today, and they said, that's the team. We were talking about who the Bears want to play, right? If you're the Green Bay Packers today, you're probably saying, well, I'd like to go back there and take our shot at beating them.
I know for a fact that the Packers feel that way. I was talking to someone connected to that team who said that they were very confident after the last game against the Bears because they knew that the quarterback was coming back, the tackle was coming back. They feel like they obviously aren't going to be at full strength because Micah Parsons is gone, but they feel like they played the Bears very well with backups, and now they should have some of their starters back. So I didn't spend much time with the Packer game. Obviously, we were on, and we were watching the Bears before this show starts, but it's my understanding that they were content to lose that game. It's not like they played everybody and tried to win. They just want to get as healthy as they can coming into Chicago next weekend.
Yeah, I think it was a smart move on their part, and it's just funny how I've changed my feeling. I was excited to face the Packers, and now after seeing this, that it's just I'm nervous about anybody coming to Soldier Field. And then, you know, obviously Green Bay, the theater is going to be amazing. I can't wait. The buildup and all that stuff is going to be fun. But let's just see how they bounce back from the showing, because it was bad. I mean, it was just bad all the way around. It was very disappointing. And Olin, just brutal. Brutal is the right word, because it didn't seem right. They looked like a bad football team. And I think anybody looking at the playoffs right now, you're going to knock them down if you're to seed them who the favorites are. You know, I'd put them down at 7. I'd maybe put them below the Carolina Panthers, just the way they look today. Just if that team shows up in the playoffs, that's a loss. You can't do that.
The thing is, though, not for nothing, but they had something to play for. But you could argue they knew that they were in the playoffs. They had won the NFC North. I'm not forgiving what was a terrible performance and another really bad first half, by the way. Whatever happened to that idea that they plan out a certain number of plays? That's long gone. But I in fairness, maybe they weren't as motivated knowing that their fate was all but decided, albeit not quite with the number two seed until Philadelphia lost.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a weird post-game show, right? Because it's like we're on to the playoffs. We got the number two seed. We got the Green Bay Packers coming in. Excited about that, man. Excited about that game. Excited about what the Chicago Bears, their preparation this week coming up. You almost don't want to talk about what you just watched, right, Mike? Right. And you're looking for – I was thinking the same thing as you. Like, well, maybe it was just all those things you just mentioned. But I just keep creeping back to that Green Bay game 2 weeks ago. Right, and they had to win that game, and that's the way it looked for most of that game. So I'm with you. Yeah, hey man, maybe disinterested. Maybe they had it locked up. They knew the Eagles weren't going to play their starters against the Commanders. They had a good chance to lose that game. They knew Green Bay was going to play Clayton Tune at quarterback today for all of his 34 yards that he threw for. Right, they knew all those things going into this football game. And look, man, yes, like get it corrected, get it going. Maybe it was a vanilla game plan by Dennis Allen, and that's why Dennis Allen just said, screw it. I'm just going to stay in man coverage and not show you what we're going to do next week, what we're going to cook up next week, because they were getting cooked. But just that Green Bay game kind of sticks in my mind. The defense's performance the last 3 weeks, Green Bay, San Fran, and now today against the Lions worries me a little bit. They can't get off the football field, it seems, on third down. Can't stop the run when they need to. So a lot of things get corrected. Packers have their problems too, right? They got Parsons out. They got a bunch of guys out. And the Bears still have a roster that matches up really, really well against the Packers, especially when it's a home game.
Well, real quick, you know what's disappointing to me? They should have still won that game with a vanilla game plan. And Olin, those are great points, because maybe they are going into this game, went into this game kind of like a preseason game where you don't want to show your hand. That we're just going to play our game and hopefully we win. If we don't, we'll see what happens. It will be interesting to see what adjustments Dennis Allen does make. Does he play a little more zone? Is C.J. Gardner-Johnson healthy? You know, who plays there? Is Nick McCloud going to be able to come back and play that position? How does he, you know, tweak with his defense? Does he have a grand plan? We've seen this team make adjustments in the past, and maybe today was just a game and said, hey, let's just go play it like a preseason game, call some plays and line up and play, and then we'll make the real adjustments going into week one of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. It was an unmotivated performance, no matter
it
what
felt
to
that
say.
Way.
Didn't it? I mean, I like the preseason game analogy because it felt like a preseason
it
game.
Did.
I mean, it was just dragging, and it was a poor performance, and it just didn't seem like they were as energetic as, you know, hopefully they will be next weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. That is the rose glasses view, right? That is.
Thank you, buddy.
That is what I'm hoping for, man.
Because that's exactly you, like, right. That's what I'm
saying. Say, man, I remember sitting on this couch watching a Green Bay game and feeling the same way for a while through that football game, right? With Malik Willis at quarterback, their right tackle's out. They got Devontae Wyatt's out. Micah Parsons is out. Why can't we move the ball? Why can't we stop this offense? Why can't we get off the field? And I remember feeling that way, and I'm with you, man. I mean, I just, if I say that then I got to say that about that game, that there was uninspired. That was like a preseason game, you know? So just like we talk about Ben Johnson and in that building, Pat, they talk about a lot, they're truth tellers, right? That's what they like to say.
Mm-hmm.
We tell the truth in this building. So if they go with that, then they have to tell the truth and say, well, yeah, but why did we look this way against Green Bay? Let's make sure we get this fixed.
Yeah.
Don't they have to lie this week? I mean, don't they have to tell their team that they're going to
Maybe that's what they did today. Maybe they lied what they're going to do against the Packers. They lied on their game plan, how they're going to play man all the time on defense. Maybe they're going to switch to more zone. Who knows? Maybe that whole game was a lie.
Someone tell the truth tellers to lie a little bit.
Yes. Tell them to bend the truth. Never let the truth get in the way of a good story. That's what my friend Reuben Brown told me.
That's right.
Oh man!
But you know, I mean, obviously we're the post game show, and we got to talk about this game. But,
yes.
but like we said earlier, man, I mean, second seed in these NFC playoffs, the thing is wide open, right? There's no really dominant football team. The Bears, you know, to get the offense going, get that defense going, stop the run, get off the field. They can make a run here in these playoffs. So that's the exciting thing about what's coming their way. And can't wait for this matchup against the Green Bay Packers a third time.
And the good news is that if you can win a game, you play another game at home. The good news is that if you're playing a team Saturday or Sunday, it's not going to be the L.A. Rams, which is, I get it, they're out in L.A., but boy, oh boy, I mean, you can't defend many wide receivers. The idea of Puka Nacua coming in here is a little scary.
Yeah, that's the one, right?
Or either one.
Yes.
You're right.
Yeah, that was the matchup that would really scare me. And, you know, still with Christian Watson and what they have there, it still scares me a little bit with Jordan Love and them getting healthy.
Yes.
But we'll see. This is a weird post game because it's just, I'm so disappointed, but I'm also fast forwarding in my brain. I'm so excited now for next Saturday or Sunday. Like, let's go. Let's go ahead and get there.
Thinking about that Packers matchup, right, and what they need to do versus Jordan Love and how good he was the last month of the season before Austin Booker hit him, right? But the emotions that are going to be in this game for the city of Chicago, for, you know, the state of Illinois, the state of Wisconsin, and all the trash talking that goes on online and just the game.
It's
the game can't get any
Twitter.
Bigger for the Chicago Bears. Yeah, it can't get any bigger.
It's already started on my Twitter.
What a fun weekend.
All right, there it is. Holen Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Molly, of course, with your post-game show. They'll have your pre and post coming up Saturday. We do know the game time. It is a 7 o'clock start. It is on Prime, the 2-seed Bears versus the 7-seed Packers. It will also be airing locally on Fox 32 as well. Hey, just a reminder, Dustin Rhodes will have your pre-game show for Molly and Hawk coming up at 5 a.m. this morning. We now have a time for Bears linebacker T.J. Edwards. He will join Molly and Hawk at 8 o'clock. Holen Krutz scheduled for 7 o'clock, and then Brad Biggs will join them sometime this morning as well. And then Raheemi Harris and Grody coming your way at 10 a.m. Anthony Heron will join them at 11 o'clock. Dan Weeder at 1. And then, of course, the Hall of Famer Kurt Warner will break down quarterback talk and much, much more with Spiegel and Holmes coming up at 3 o'clock. Much more to get to. And we want to hear from you as well. 312-644-6767. A couple topics we've laid out for you today. We heard about the simpler game plan. What do you make of Ben Johnson's approach in this game? We're also talking mood, your mood as a Bears fan. 11-6, heading back to the playoffs for the first time since 2020. The Bears have also lost back-to-back games. One of the reasons why it feels different this morning, the Bears have lost back-to-back games for the first time since that week one and week two. Where is your confidence level and where is your mood on this Bears team heading towards that Packers game? Where's your confidence level as well? And then your quarterback, Caleb Williams, is now the single season passing leader for the Bears with 3,942 yards. 3,942. He was 58 yards shy of 4,000 yards. Is that something worth celebrating? Does it solidify for you that you have your franchise quarterback, or do you need to see more? 312-644-6767. Let's hear from you. We also found out who the Bears will be having at home next season. We'll let you know the Bears' upcoming schedule coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
First down, play action, pressure. Goff is in trouble. He is sacked by Montez Sweat. Grady Jarrett was there as well.
Got a little pressure from the right, and here's Grady Jarrett on the inside on the left. Nowhere for Goff to go. Play action fake. And it's zone coverage, so he's got to wait for these receivers to get open downfield. But again, kind of plaguing this offense is their ability to stand in the pocket clean off these play action passes and make the throws. Great job by Chicago making a pay.
All right, that was Tom Brady on Fox. You're listening to Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank. And great clip, speaking of Montez Sweat, Mark Grody had an exclusive. He was, in fact, the only one that talked to Montez Sweat after the game. So we will hear from Grody and Montez coming up in just a few minutes. Final score, 19-16. As the regular season comes to an end, the Lions finish 9-8 on the year, and the Bears finish at 11-6. You know, it was interesting there. Listening back to the postgame show with Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Moley, and you could kind of hear the back and forth of, like, really disappointed they lost that game, didn't like the way they showed up. However, they're 11-6. They're the two seed heading into the playoffs, but back to the two-game losing streak. Like, where do we come out on the regular season we just watched? The way that I'm trying to approach it is quite simply, the season is not over, so we're not looking at the regular season and what it meant for Ben Johnson, because we still have a game to get to, and then we will have an entire offseason to break down the totality of what we just watched. 11-6, the two seed from where they were last year, absolutely incredibly impressive, the turnaround. However, what we saw on Sunday, that was a team that was outright flat. And the messaging of what we heard from Ben Johnson about how important the game was, how important it was to not go into the playoffs, losing two in a row, that messaging was drastically different than what we saw on the field. And one of the things that Ben Johnson has been so good at is the players kind of meeting his messaging and his expectations. And that is not what we saw on Sunday. Where are you on kind of the, you should be happy, but a little concerned, confidence of the Packers? What's your mood right now as a Bears fan? 312-644-6767. Ben Johnson also said that it was a simpler game plan. Did you feel like this was one of Ben Johnson's worst games? Because I certainly did. And as the day that Caleb Williams becomes the all-time single-season passing leader, a stat that we've talked a lot about, in fact, the one we talked more about is the one that he came up 58 yards shy of 4,000 yards. But with what he did this season, do you feel confident you have your quarterback for the next decade? Or if you want to, you know, slap the, well, not the franchise tag, but call him your franchise quarterback, are you convinced he's the guy? 312-644-6767. Now, when the Bears end up in first place of the NFC North, the way that they build out the schedules is you will match your other first place brethren around the other divisions, and you will have a first place schedule. Meaning, the Bears, for example, do have the Seattle Seahawks coming to town next year. So we now know they're home and away. We don't know the list of it. We don't know the schedule itself. That, I think, comes out in May, typically. But we do know who is coming to Soldier Field. All right, so next year, of course, it will be the Vikings, Lions, and the Packers. But the home schedule for the Bears in the 2026 season, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Philadelphia Eagles. Oof, get your tickets to that one. Jacksonville Jaguars. Jags 13-4. It's so funny. You look back. Remember Liam Cohen said, Duval. And everybody had a good laugh and somehow tried to assume that may make him a terrible head coach. 13-4 are the Jags. Then
dark,
you got
dark horse.
Maybe. Then you got the New York Jets. Can I tell you, you saw this, Grant. The New York Jets, who hired a defensive coordinator in Aaron Glenn, right? Like, they went the defensive route. Bears go the offensive route as they take the coordinators from the Lions. The New York Jets did not have one interception the entire season.
I don't think that's ever happened before.
I don't think it has. I don't think it has. So the Jets and Aaron Glenn, who will be the Jets quarterback? I don't know, but you'll be watching in Soldier Field. It's this year, next season. Then the New England Patriots. Yikes. Then the New Orleans Saints. You can beat them again, hopefully, as the Saints finish 6-11. Where will the Bears go next season? They got the Buffalo Bills. They'll be going to Buffalo, open that brand new stadium. Bills had a heck of a year, 12-5. Then you got the Dolphins, so the Bears will get a trip to Miami. That's nice. Dolphins were 7-10 this year. Then the Atlanta Falcons, the Carolina Panthers, and then they will go to Seattle to face the Seahawks, 14-3, and the one seed in the NFC.
So the Jets are the first team to never record a defensive interception an entire season. The closest one to that was the 1933 San Francisco 49ers, and actually they were very close to setting their own record back in 2018 when they only recorded two interceptions in a season.
And then another interesting stat, because the Bears will play the NFC South next year, it is the first time in NFL history that you had one division all finish up over 500 in the NFC North, and then you had one division, the NFC South, all finish under 500. Although three of them did finish 8-9, so not like disastrous, except for the Saints, who were 6-11. But the one division that finished all under 500 is on your schedule next year. So the AFC East, all right, it's tough somewhat in the Bills and the Patriots, but not tough with the Dolphins and the Jets. Then you got the Bucks, the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Saints in the NFC South. I find it to be a rather favorable schedule for the Bears. But you never really know what's in front of you. For example, the Bears had the Bengals this year without Joe Burrow. They had the Ravens this year without Lamar Jackson. They also lost that game to Tyler Huntley. And they came pretty close to losing that Bengals game to Joe Flacco. So you can look at it and go, strength of schedule, pretty favorable. You never know what's ultimately going to happen. But just kind of looking at it at first glance, it does feel like it sets up somewhat well for the Bears to get back to the playoffs. You know, this is the first time that I've had one of these where we've covered a loss. And there is no good, better, best. And one of the reasons why this season has been so much fun is, I wouldn't call it the concerning thing for next year, but it is interesting when you have a team who is as good as the Bears are, that you don't really want to follow the exact blueprint of got you to where you are as of now at the two seed. And we'd love to hear from you, 312-644-6767. After watching these last two games, albeit the two seed, you got the seventh seed in the Packers. How confident are you that the Bears will be moving on through the wild card round? 312-644-6767. Can anyone explain to me why they were so flat on Sunday? Does anyone have a good opinion on why they were so flat? As Tom Brady continued to say it at least three times on the broadcast, 312-644-6767. Text line is open as well. One of the reasons why you wouldn't draw this up for next year is playing from behind is often a place of desperation. it's also one of the areas where you do feel like Caleb Williams really thrives at. But one of the reasons why I think he thrives there is because it's not that he's a great scrambler. I'd like to give him more credit where it kind of really showcases his athleticism to extend plays and also have accuracy to throw on the run. And as much as I am a Caleb Williams believer, I do think that what they need to do on Saturday night is to do the one thing that I've kind of given Caleb Williams a pass on, and that's deliver on the singles. Because one of the reasons why the Bears play from behind as much as they do, they're a really bad second quarter offense. They're 24th in the NFL in scoring in the second quarter, and they're not always great to begin the third quarter. Ben Johnson has referred to it as the middle eight, right? The 4 minutes heading into halftime, the 4 minutes coming out of halftime. And it's something where the Bears just have not been very good. They're good in the first quarter. I think they're like a top six team when it comes to scoring points in the first quarter. And then things just lag off in the second quarter. And part of that is just continuing to move the chains, even if it's the singles. So how do the Bears beat the Packers on Saturday night? The blueprint for me looks very similar to what we've talked about all season, and that's run the ball to try to keep the offense, your opposition's offense, off the field as much as possible. Because with what we saw today, you cannot feel very good about this Bears defense. They did field against San Francisco, and then this was, you know, it wasn't a Lions team that had nothing to play for, but I mean, let's give the Commanders credit, right? Like, the Commanders, quote-unquote, had nothing to play for. And they beat the Eagles, albeit the Eagles were resting a lot of their starters. But the number 9-8 just sounds better than 8-9, right? Like, Dan Campbell, when they reference how many times he finished over 500, I mean, I've heard it over and over and over and over about Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin never had a season under 500. Never had a season under 500. No one ever says he's lost six consecutive playoff games. But he's never had a season under 500.
Or hasn't won one since 2016.
Or 2016, right? So that means the number of years he hasn't been there, but always up over 500. Mark Grody caught up with Montez Sweat. And Grody was the only one to speak with Montez after the game. Here's that conversation.
Yeah, it was a tough game. We got to find a way to get off the field. The time of possession was completely lopsided, but we still was in a position to finish at the end, and we just didn't make the right plays that we needed to get off.
What is that about a defense where they're coming down the field, they're getting through you guys, but then you guys crack down in the red zone in a big way? Where is that mentality? Is it hard to hold that mentality for the entire drive? Is it what it is?
I mean, we understand we got a good thing going on the offensive side of the ball. So if they do convert to the red, if they do get to the red zone, then we got to buckle down and get a stop, which we didn't necessarily do last week, but I think we did a okay job at it this week. But just the time of possession, this will really kill the defense today, just speaking on the defensive side of the ball.
You guys started making plays. I mean, obviously you had a sack. TJ Edwards with a tip falls into the hands of Kevin Byard. When you guys start making those plays, is that the point at which you guys thought you were going to win the game? Because you guys have done this a ton of times this year.
Yeah, we definitely expected to win. We expected to get a stop, and we expected the offense to go down and score. But it didn't turn out like that. But we live to fight another day.
This season, you guys win the North. You guys are going to take on the Packers. Your thoughts on playing? Yeah, we do know that. Yes, it's a fact. Green Bay for the third time this year. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, I noticed what the fans want to see, a good rivalry in the playoffs. So, yeah, we're up to the challenge. We're 1-1, so we'll see how the tiebreaker goes.
This season for you guys on the overall had to be a revelation in terms of relative to last year and what you guys accomplished this year. Do you take a moment to feel that at all right now?
I mean, a little bit, but, I mean, we're working on next now, going to the a new season in the playoffs. We can't really look back on it right now. We'll probably diagnose that after we make this run.
You got the double-digit sacks. Personal satisfaction about that?
Yeah, I mean, especially just the bounce back from the down year I had last year. It means a lot, but that's really the bare minimum of my goals. I see myself doing a lot more than just that, but it just shows that I'm on the right track. So,
you told me at the beginning of the year that, paraphrasing what you said, hey, be a little patient. This is a new defense, new coach, all that stuff. So do you feel like that was going to help you not only in the postseason, but even next year, that you've got this down now, so to speak?
Yeah, most definitely. I think that helps with everybody, and we get more familiar with the calls and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Thanks for your time on the
property. Appreciate it.
Good stuff there from Mark Grody with Montez Sweat. Montez did finish with 10 sacks on the season. They are going to need Montez Sweat on Saturday night against Jordan Love. Looking at some of the stats about how this defense finished up. And by the way, if you want to talk about how you think this Bears defense can get stops against the Green Bay Packers, 312-644-6767. The Bears defense, 29th in yards overall in the NFL. 23rd in points allowed. So, you know, I do like to look at points more so than yards. Bend but don't break defenses can win you some games, right? Getting stops in the red zones or forcing field goals instead of touchdowns, which we saw happen yesterday, that can work. Getting takeaways, like the Bears got their one, but it kind of feels like for a Bears defense to really be successful in a game, they got to be plus two. And they were just plus one today. And then Caleb threw one away yesterday, so that evened it out, right? Like, typically the Bears finish in the plus because he does not give it up often, and they often get more than a takeaway if they can be two or three. That's what it feels like. 29th in yards allowed for this Bears team, 23rd in points. What's concerning about Saturday night is what Jordan Love did in Green Bay, where it looked like he and Matt LaFleur had the answer of what Dennis Allen was trying to do, especially on third down, and they were much more aggressive in blitzes against Jordan Love, and he just filleted them. I believe he was 8 for 11 blitzed, and as a team, they were 8 for 12 in third downs. That's a real problem, right? So that's where, as we get set for this game on Saturday night, we wonder, what is Dennis Allen going to do? Because you almost felt like there was an overcorrection against the San Francisco 49ers where they just rushed four and tried to get home and played coverage that way and weren't creative with blitzes at all. Now, was that Ben Johnson's plan in the quote-unquote simpler offense that they didn't want to put anything on film? I just wonder, after 17 games, do they have that much new material up their sleeve to throw out the Green Bay Packers on Saturday night? 312-644-6767. Let's take a look at a couple of the other things that happen around the NFL. This NFC North is fascinating. The Bears come in at 11-6. Now, remember, you had a team, the Lions won 15 games last year. The Vikings won 14 games last year. So you definitely did not have that again, but you had every team in the division finish up over 500. Let's start with Dan Campbell. Here's Dan Campbell after the Lions game, what he had to say about what they're going through missing the playoffs.
I'll say this. I believe that things happen for a reason, right, wrong, or indifferent, or what. And I just, when something like this happens, I believe it's going to be for the best. And it's up to Brad and I to make it for the best. And the guys that we know we're going to count on that are on this team.
Now, Dan Campbell said over the week that they'd hit rock bottom. Do I think that the Lions hit rock bottom? No, I think they missed the playoffs. Do I think that they're going to vanish and return to the Detroit Lions of old? I don't. In fact, I could see the Lions win 10 games next year. There's still a lot of talent on that roster, and I'm sure that they will probably make some pretty big changes. What they don't have is an elite play caller. And so when you look at the roller coasters that have been ridden by teams around the NFL, look at Sean McVay. Sean McVay went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff, then went to a Super Bowl and won well with Matthew Stafford. Elite play caller. Look at Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan went to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. All right, roller coaster goes down. Kyle Shanahan goes back to a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. Didn't win either of them. Still a pretty good place to be. How do they ride that roller coaster? Elite play caller. The Lions had to bench their play caller in John Barton. So do I see them getting back to the dynamic 15-win offense and 15-win team that was just rolling people like they were? Like, is that window gone? That window is absolutely gone if they can't get back to finding an elite play caller like they had. And now you've asked Dan Campbell to call plays, and that takes him out of the role that he was so good at as the head coach. So the Lions aren't going away. Certainly don't scare me. They certainly don't scare me like they used to. Why? Because we've got their guy. Because we've got their guy in Ben Johnson. Now, J.J. McCarthy's an interesting one, as he left the game yet again injured. Will the Minnesota Vikings be as terrifying as they were last season? Not this season, but last season. Here's J.J. McCarthy on if it's his job next year.
Do you feel like you earned the right to be the starter going next year? Where do you think you stand with the organization at this point?
You know, after today, maybe, but tomorrow there's nothing promised. The next day there's nothing promised. You know, that's something I take very seriously. It's not something that you buy and you get for the rest of your life. You rent it, you lease it every single day, and I'm just, you know, trying to make daily deposits to make sure, you know, I'm in this house for a long time.
You know, looking in division should be a good reminder about how impressive it is, the ability for Caleb Williams to show up at each and every game, right? Like, his durability is spectacular. You saw with Jordan Love, and listen, you can't say that these guys are soft or that, you know, Caleb Williams is just outright tougher, because part of it is luck for the concussion example for Jordan Love, right? Although Jordan has missed time as well, dealing with a number of injuries. But J.J. McCarthy took himself out of the game yesterday because he couldn't grip the ball. He's got broken bone or bones in his hand. And he has had an incredible amount of injuries, including missing all of last year. But who knows if he would have played in front of Sam Darnold. There was a really interesting moment, though, when he came out of the game. And he apologized to his teammates coming off of the field that he couldn't continue to go. Because, again, Brosmer had to come in. J.J. said, I just can't do it. I can't go anymore. None of his teammates, including Justin Jefferson or his offensive lineman, you know, there always seems to be that special relationship between a quarterback and their offensive lineman. As he said, I'm sorry, and dapped them up as they were coming off the field, none of them really seemed to take much pity or sympathy on being disappointed that J.J. came out of the game. And perhaps it just feels like a broken record. But for the Vikings to get back to some sort of scary place or a dominant place, they got to have a quarterback. Kevin O'Connell was able to go and get one out on the streets with Sam Darnold. Will they be able to do that again? Who exactly would that be? I don't have a name off the top of my head, but until they have a legit quarterback that can stay on the field, you can't be as scared of what they have been in the past. Now, you do have an elite play caller there. He doesn't have a quarterback. The Lions, they've got a quarterback. They don't have an elite play caller. So you like to think that what we have here is what everyone else is missing, except Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur seem to also be a pretty good pairing there. Let's find out if our pairing is better than their pairing on Saturday night. One more clip. I thought this was great, because this season has been a season of gifts, if you will. A season of luck at times, a season of good breaks, and a season of Josh Johnson doing what you weren't able to do, and that's winning.
Man, it's indescribable, because like it was an up and down game, and, you know, it's like a reflection of life. Life is like this. It's ups and downs and ups and downs. And man, we stuck together as a team. And, you know, DQ called. He said it's gonna be a brotherhood game, and it really was a brotherhood win. Like, defense played awesome. They stood tall. You know, we had a couple laps, and they you know, nobody wavered. Nobody blinked, and we just kept going. Man, I'm just grateful to be a part of this. Man, I really am. So grateful to be a part of this.
You mentioned the ups and downs. Much like your career, you threw your first touchdown pass tonight since 2021. You ran another one in. Describe what that felt like.
It's just a testimony to, man, being locked in with God. Like, God been preparing me, and he's been speaking to me. Like, man, you here for a reason. And, you know, when I was here on this field in 2023, you know, it was a lot of darkness surrounding in that moment. And, you know, he told me, and I prayed about it, and I said, God, if you still want me to do this, you know, you're gonna show me a sign. He showed me the signs, and he said, just keep going, keep having faith. And, you know, I did. And, you know, I'm just glad to be a part of this moment, man. I'm so excited.
You know, at times it felt like the Bears have been a team of fate. It didn't look like it yesterday at Soldier Field, but how about the fate of Josh Johnson getting only his second win as a starter, number two, after 16 years in the NFL? 39-year-old Josh Johnson shows up and beats the Eagles in a very close game. I know that the Eagles were resting their starters. I mean, the Commanders are pretty beat up. And you needed Josh Johnson to win. How old is Josh Johnson? He was the quarterback for Jim Harbaugh at the University of San Diego. Like, before you knew that Jim Harbaugh was a head coach, when he took the Stanford job, he was at USD in 2004 with Josh Johnson. That's a guy who showed up and got the job done on Sunday to make sure that you had the two seed and that we get this epic matchup of the Bears and the Packers on Saturday night. Coming up next, we'll get you set for the rest of the NFL games. We'll lay out the entire playoff picture. Also, what did you make of Ben Johnson's simpler game plan? Did Ben Johnson have his worst game as the Bears head coach on Sunday? 312-644-6767. What is your mood today as a Bears fan? Let us know. That's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.